For our text this morning, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where we read of the Spirit coming on Pentecost. We're just going to read the first four verses. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read the first four verses. If you're using our Pew Bibles, that's page 1056. Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And that's as far as reading together in Acts chapter 2. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we celebrate the culmination of the continued work of Jesus Christ. As Jesus ended his ministry on this earth, he said to his disciples, "I will be with you always. My presence will always be with you." And then a few short verses later, Jesus ascends into heaven, and the disciples are left asking themselves the question, if Christ promised that he would be with us, that his presence would remain with us to the end of the age, how is he present if he is not now physically present here upon this earth and looking before us at the Lord's table? How is Christ present? If he is not physically present in the bread and the wine, is he really present? Absolutely. But how? How is Christ present? And the answer is found through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the other comforter, that comforter sent from the right hand of the Father. The gift that Jesus Christ received when he ascended into glory was the Spirit in all fullness and power, which he immediately poured out upon his people. We celebrate Pentecost. Now, the word Pentecost means 50, and if we backtrack, you'll remember 50 days ago, we celebrated the death of Jesus Christ. He gave his life as a ransom for sin. He was the Passover lamb. 50 days ago was Passover. On Passover, Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice, an atonement, shed his blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And in the Old Testament, Passover was a time of remembering, children, that it is only through blood that we are not consumed. Remember the first Passover in Egypt? That the Israelites had to slit the throat of that Passover lamb and dip the sticks in that blood and smear it on their doorposts, put it on the corners of their doors, so that when the destroying angel entered the camp, saw that blood, that angel would pass over that house, would not enter that house and kill the firstborn children in that house. It was by blood that there was a withholding of judgment, a withholding of destruction. That's what Passover meant. And as the Israelites continued to celebrate this Passover throughout the generations, this Passover was also connected to the celebration of the first fruits. It was a feast of the beginning of the harvest. And 50 days later would be the full celebration on Pentecost, the gathering in of the full harvest. The days after Passover would be the new grain presented to the Lord in thanksgiving, but then Pentecost would be the full harvest. So today we see that in the fulfilling events of this day, Pentecost, there is a culmination of bringing together all these Old Testament themes, the withholding of judgment, the pouring out of blessings, the full harvest, which is made evident when the Holy Spirit is poured upon the church in Acts chapter 2. But not only do we see these Old Testament connotations, we also see sights and sounds. They see these tongues of fire. And they hear the rushing sound, the rushing of a mighty water or a great wind. The Holy Spirit was poured upon the church in a greater, higher, fuller way. But the Spirit was present already in the Old Testament. And today we are going to see, as we look at the Old Testament and New Testament together, that the New Testament is the Old Testament fulfilled. But already in the Old Testament, the New Testament themes are there contained. So today we see this, that the Spirit of Pentecost equips God's people to serve within His kingdom. The Spirit of Pentecost equips God's people to serve within His kingdom. We start then by looking at the Old Testament precursors of the Spirit and His work. Although we find the clearest teaching of the Trinity in the New Testament, we do find the Spirit's presence in the Old, right away in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was on the face of the water. And it was by the Spirit's presence and work that there is order and life brought to this creation. If the Spirit had not been there, there would be no life. And when it comes to the creating of man, God breathes into man's body, making him a living being. Just look at the book of Psalms. How often don't you see that it is the Spirit's presence that brings life and order to all of creation? As John 3 says, the Spirit is like a wind that blows where it will. The word for wind or spirit in the Old Testament is ruha, and that word means spirit, wind, or breath. It's one meaning, ruha, and when the breath of God, the Spirit of God, breathes forth, He brings forth life. The breath of God is a representation of the presence of God. This idea is taught in Ezekiel chapter 37. Children, that's vision that Ezekiel receives of dry bones, right? Remember, Ezekiel's called to go out to this valley filled with bones, and his first command is to preach. And as he preaches, there's a rattling sound, and all these bones are stuck together, and they're covered with flesh and skin. But then the Lord gives a second command, speak to the wind, preach to the breath of God. And in calling upon the breath of God, God's Spirit fills this mighty army and raises them up. The wind, or the ruha of God, fills them, and they become living beings. Or Ezekiel 1 verse 4. Ezekiel looks into the wilderness and he sees a stormy wind come out of the north, accompanied by a fire flashing forth continually. So not only do we have the breath or the wind of God, which is a representation of the Spirit's presence bringing life and order, but we also have this idea of fire representing the presence of God. Fire. You remember that angel that stood by the way into the Garden of Eden had a fiery sword. Or you jump into the book of Exodus chapter 13. How did God appear to Moses? But in a burning bush. When Moses saw this burning bush, he took off his sandals because God said, you are standing on holy ground. Or you consider the Shekinah cloud, that glory cloud that led the Israelites in the wilderness. In the night, it was a burning pillar of fire, and in the evening, it was a whirlwind which performed a cloud to provide shade for his people. Or in Exodus chapter 19, that's the giving of the law, Mount Sinai. As the Israelites were encamped around the Mount Sinai, they heard a mighty sound, like the sounding of trumpets. The earth shaked at the presence of God, and fire shot forth throughout the mountain. And the giving of the law is particularly important today, Because the giving of the law happened 50 days after the Passover. The giving of the law at Mount Sinai happened on Pentecost. So the Spirit's presence is immediately testified when the law, when revelation, when truth is going forth from God. The law is given on Pentecost. From the burning bush that Moses saw to that still small voice that Moses and Elisha heard, God's presence is revealed in the wind and the fire. But what did the Spirit do? What was the Spirit's work in the Old Testament? I said a few minutes ago that when the Spirit is present, there is life, there is order, seen not only in creation, but in new creation, in recreation. But there is also a theme of equipping throughout the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses appoints 70 elders to rule over the people. And the Lord comes down in a cloud and puts some of the Spirit upon these 70 men, and they are equipped to prophesy. They were anointed, and they go out and they preach and they tell and they proclaim the great things that God has done as the Spirit equips them for service. In this equipping, Joshua becomes jealous. Joshua wanted these 70 men to stop, but Moses responds, "I wish that everyone would be prophets like this. I wish everyone had the special presence of the Holy Spirit like this." In the book of Judges, we find that when a judge is raised up, the Spirit rushes upon them and equips them to serve. You find this with men like Samson and Gideon and Jephthah. They were equipped by the Lord. They were given the mantle of service, mighty strength, wisdom, ability to lead as they brought forth victory and deliverance for God's people. The Holy Spirit equipped them for service. The Holy Spirit is present. It's made evident in that anointing oil that would be poured upon kings and priests. Even as we read in 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 is when Elijah ascends up into heaven. With 2 Kings chapter 2, we have Elijah and Elisha together, and Elijah says to Elisha, "What do you want me to give you? What would you like me to give you, Elisha?" And Elisha says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And as they cross the Jordan River, this wonderful, full of typology event takes place as we have this flaming horse and chariot separate Elijah and Elisha, and then Elijah goes up to heaven in a tornado, in a whirlwind. And then the mantle of Elijah falls down to Elisha. Elisha picks it up, and it's a visible representation of the spirit of Elijah now upon Elisha. If we jump into our passage in Acts chapter 2, what happens in 2 Kings chapter 2 is that the spirit of the leader falls upon his disciple and equips them for service. What happens in Acts chapter 2 is that the Spirit of Jesus Christ falls upon the disciples, equipping them for service. Any spirit that the Lord had, remember Jesus Christ was anointed by the Spirit at his baptism. And when he ascended into heaven, Christ did not leave his disciples unequipped, but he gives them the Spirit. He anoints them with the Holy Ghost here on Pentecost. What we find in our passage is what Joel 2 prophesied. A time was coming when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, on young men and maidens, old men, slave and free, even children would be anointed with the Spirit. So when we look at the Old Testament's the Old Testament work of the Holy Spirit equipping men for service, we find special, unique moments that testify that the Spirit is equipping particularly leaders to be prophets, priests, and kings. And in the strength of the Spirit, they go out and they lead for kings. In the strength of the Spirit, the prophets are able to speak and to tell and proclaim. In the strength of the Spirit, the priests are enabled to serve, and they're not consumed when they come into the presence of a holy God. But as I said before, it's specific events that we find. When we move into the New Testament, there is a fullness taking place. In the Old Testament, it's akin to a trickle. The presence of the Holy Spirit is seen as the dew on a summer morning. When we come into the New Testament, the fountain bursts forth. It's a mighty flood that fills the church as a whole. The Spirit in His fullness. So as the Spirit falls upon the disciples, this is now in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we find that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We read earlier in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit. If someone has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, they are enabled to see and to testify what is true, that Jesus is Lord. And here we find these disciples filled with the Spirit, testifying in all different tongues and languages, Jesus is Lord. Testament, testifying that the Spirit has filled them. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Those who were enabled to write the Scriptures were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit carries the disciples so that they speak as they should and they record the words which they ought. The wind or the Spirit fills them and the fire sat upon them, equipping them and purifying them to be holy vessels. Now remember I said in the introduction that Pentecost is a harvest feast. What happened at Passover was the first fruits. Pentecost is the full gathering. When we put this in the context of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is the first fruit. That's what we find in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus is the first fruit, the first gathering. But at Pentecost, we have the full gathering, the gathering in of all God's people by the Holy Spirit. The confusion that took place at Babylon, that dividing and separating, is now overcome and overpowered at Pentecost as all nations are gathered in, all tongues, tribes, and languages. And I said that the work of the Holy Spirit is evident at the giving of the law, the writing of the law on the tablets of stone. But what happens at Pentecost with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is what Jeremiah 31 was longing for, the writing of the law, not on stone, but on our hearts, on our flesh. The fact that we know and love and understand the Scriptures is testament to the Spirit's presence today. So the Old Testament, we catch glimpses of the Holy Spirit and His work. In the New Testament, we find the fullness and the fulfillment of this, not only in the sights and the sounds, but also in the equipping for service. The equipping for service. Remember in the Old Testament, it was the specific prophets, priests, and kings or judges that were filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit, to do their work of service. What happens in the New Testament, as you find in Lord's Day 12, is because Christ has poured out His Spirit upon the church, beginning at Pentecost, is that suddenly not just specific men are called to be prophets, priests, and kings, but we all share in the anointing of Christ. Every one of us here, anointed with Christ's Spirit to be prophets, priests, and kings. We all have the Holy Spirit filling us for service, equipping us for works. That's why we read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are various gifts, various abilities, but one Spirit who empowers us all for service. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in their heart. Remember that the Spirit has principally, particularly two particular works. One, giving life. So we can think of regeneration, new birth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you can say in your heart, Jesus is Lord, you have been brought from darkness into life. If you are a born-again Christian, which is the only kind of Christian there is, the Holy Spirit has done it in you. That's the first true mark of the Holy Spirit's work. But the second part of the Spirit's work is equipping for service, sanctifying us and enabling us to use our gifts for the building up of Christ's people. So as 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, let us use our gifts for the common good of each other. Now, we are a gifted church. I look around and I see all sorts of gifts and talents and abilities. I see people opening their homes in the gift of hospitality. I see people giving, making meals for someone who just had a baby or someone who is sick, visiting those who are in the hospital, praying for one another, words of encouragement. These are all gifts that the Spirit has given to us for the expressed purpose of building and encouraging each other. So whatever has happened to you in your life, whatever trials you have gone through, whatever difficulties you have experienced, they have been given to you specifically as an equipping for service. Whatever interest you have, whatever desires you have, whatever been placed upon your heart, is the Holy Spirit giving you something and saying, now use it. Use it for the church. Every one of us here were prophets, priests, and kings. Every one of us filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be a blessing to one another, not just the leaders, but all of us. So may it be in our words and our deeds that we use the gifts the Spirit has given, the desires the Spirit has given. 1 Peter 4 verse says this, as each has received a gift, use that gift to serve one another as a steward of God's varied grace, so that in everything God would be glorified. Romans 8, by the Spirit we walk. In Him we set our mind on things above. By the Spirit we please God, and through the Spirit we will one day be raised again. Christ by His Spirit gathers His church. Christ by His Spirit gathers His people out of the darkness, and Christ by His Spirit equips His church, equips her for service. So the presence of the Holy Spirit today, the specific equipping that you have received, is only possible because of the Holy Spirit. So may we all, whatever gifts we have, use them for the good of one another and for the glory of our God. To conclude, we have seen that the Holy Spirit, in its sights, sounds, and benefits, has a foretaste in the Old Testament, and it's now in its fullness. We are living in the age of the Spirit. We are living in the age of the Spirit. Christ was the first fruit. Now the full harvest is being gathered in. As 2 Corinthians 3 says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It is the work of the Spirit to bring glory to Christ. And by the Spirit, Christ's people are equipped for service. So when we come into the presence of God, we are not terrified or consumed by whirlwinds and consuming fire, but rather His breath, the breath of Christ's Spirit, gives us life. And the fire of Christ's Spirit purifies us for service. And as we now come to the Lord's table, we remember that it is by the Spirit we can partake of Christ. This is a spiritual meal. Christ is spiritually present. Our souls benefit, are built. We are knit together with Christ by His Spirit and knit together with one another by Christ. Because there's one Spirit. One Spirit, as there is one Christ, one head, one faith, one baptism, one church. One body, all because there's one Spirit. So as we now partake of this heavenly food and drink this spiritual meal, may our souls be nourished. Because the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ, and he also unites us to each other. Christ enables the church, by his Spirit, to go forth, make disciples, to declare the truth, and to serve each other. Praise God that we can celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit today, and by the Spirit be equipped to do the work, to do the good that Christ has called us and set before us to perform. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts, who equips us, who brings us to life and enables us to serve. We thank you for the sights and sounds which we can testify to the Spirit's presence and also the benefit that is ours, that we are equipped and enabled to serve as prophets, priests, and kings. As we now partake of this heavenly food and drink, may our souls be nourished and strengthened, united to Christ and his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.